Right, good morning. Are we all here? Those who are not, say aye. Can I then welcome you all this morning to 888's half-year results presentation. As I'm sure you're aware by now, I'm Brian Mattingly. I'm 888's Chief Executive, and with me today I have, as always, my two colleagues, Itai Freiberger, Chief Operating Officer, and Aviad Kubrin, the CFO. I'm sure you've all seen the results today, and I would like to give you a very brief presentation and then hand over to Aviad, who will then take you through a financial review, some pretty dynamic slides from Itai, and I will then summarise at the very end. So first of all, I would just like to spend a few minutes going through the summary of results. I've got to say, I believe an excellent set of results for the half year. Revenues are up by 13% to 225, which I'm sure you're all aware because we announced the final quarter some time ago. Adjusted EBITDA at $49 million, up 27%. And I just want to put a little bit of context on that. In the first full year of this management team's tenure, we actually had a full year result of $49 million, which was considerably above that of 2010. We've actually delivered in the half year 2014 that which was delivered in the full year 2011. So as you can imagine, we are delighted by that. A line in the P&L account, which for us is the underlying trading performance, PBT, net of financing. It should really read net of Forex, but I think we were constrained by our auditors what we called it. But the bit beneath that is purely and simply derivatives and Forex. That is 36.5 million up from 29.2, 25% growth in our underlying business. As you can see, we have in the first half generated $47 million of cash. That is after paying the full year dividend for 2013. And we have corporate cash in the bank of $60 million, 50% more than we had this time last year. As a result of the strong trading and also of the strong cash position, we, the board, have declared an interim dividend of 3.5 cents per share, which is 17% above that of last year. In terms of current trading, I am pleased to say that current trading remains very strong and very much in line and surpassing revised expectations. This company is in great health. And I would now like to explain, if I can, how we've achieved these results and why we are confident about the second half and beyond. Firstly, looking at all of our key product groups, every matrix is showing good growth on the previous year. And one of the main reasons for this is the development of our mobile technology. This time last year in the UK, which we consider the UK to be a good proxy because it's the most developed market for our mobile technology, 11% of transactions were undertaken on mobile technology. This year it's nearly 30%, almost doubling that, and what's more, we're seeing traction picking up even more. Furthermore, anybody, any of our members, our customers who are playing both on PC and what we call touch, either tablet or smartphone, we are seeing real growth in lifetime value of those people. We believe and have seen that this has been a real growth engine for all of the verticals that we're in. We then move on to sports. I think we've always stated that once we'd got a decent sports partner, we could see some great opportunities in this. Revenue has grown by 102%, and it represents about 3.5% of the total revenue for the company, up by about one complete percentage point. Cambi. Our partners are great tier one operators, and they have given us more opportunities, more sports betting events to go live on, and great risk managers. So overall, our margins are better. We have done some initial marketing campaigns on this product group, and we have seen some good RTCs, returns to costs, and it gives us confidence that we are able to take Sportsbook further on from where it is today. Poker, we continue to buck the trend, growing by 3% above that of last year. We still remain second in global liquidity, according to Poker Scout, and we see this business as being robust and resilient income, good quality of earnings, high volume, low ticket, as opposed to professional gamblers. Bingo, first of all, I think we completed the restructure of this vertical in the course of last summer. It is now operating in the same management type structure as that of casino and poker. We then have refreshed and relaunched all of our products, big push on mobile technology and more side games and new side games. About half the growth of this is a result of Forex. So there was a tailwind of Forex in this particular area, but still seeing a good growth from a position where last year we were going backwards. Casino delivered 14% growth. I have a disagreement about this with Abiad. I think there are six consecutive quarters where you compare this quarter this year with the quarter last year of double-digit growth. So we are seeing good, consistent growth patterns coming out of probably one of the most more mature markets. We have got home-built games in our casino now. We are developing between 10 and 15 games per year. That means that they are unique to us, point of difference, and we have no rev share. So they are good opportunities for us going forward. And we have maintained our market share in both casino and poker in Spain. Good introduction of mobile technology. We have more content in those products, and we are actually quite happy with the way that the marketing campaigns are going. The market, however, in Spain is maturing. We are not seeing the growth that we saw in the earlier years. Italy, casino only. We're maintaining a meaningful presence in Italy, holding our own. But at this moment in time, naturally with only one product, it's not actually gaining momentum, not gaining growth. We need to look at more products in the Italian market. B2B revenue has increased by 40%. And of that 40%, 33% of that relates to growth in our bingo skins and our bingo B2B offer. The other 66%, or two-thirds of that growth, has come as a result of the emerging market in America, which is, again, as you remember, majority of our income coming out of the US is via B2B. The B2C side is consolidated with AAPN. In terms of the regulation in US, I believe it's been an incredibly successful launch in the US. It's been there a year. It's been a successful regulatory launch. So in terms of regulation, it has ticked all the boxes. We have had no out-of-state gaming incidents. We've had no underage gaming problems. We as an industry have acted socially responsible. It's been a great success for the regulator. If anything, I would suggest probably slightly over-regulated. As a result of that, income has been slower than the market had suggested. That is now beginning to ease up because the regulators in Nevada and in New Jersey are actually working with the operators to expand the market. But we should remember, we are incredibly well positioned in the US. We're the only operator operating in three states that are legalized. And of the problems that are out there, they are payment processing, they are geolocation, there is the licensing of affiliates and illegal sites. We are all working together, regulator and operator, to improve on that. So in my mind, it's a great opportunity for us going forward. Current trading, well ahead of last year. We have one of the best Julys in profit terms the company has ever had. August is repeating that same revenue trend. It looks very much as though at the end of August we'll be 14 to 15% up year on year. So again, we feel very happy with the way that that is progressing. If we now look at some of the key drivers for the second half of the year and beyond, again, I will very quickly run through that. In terms of casino, we will further develop new product, new in-house games, and we are buying in and have a relationship with NetEnt now to bring in third-party games. The idea of our automated real-time marketing campaigns and CRM is continuing to have the effect of growing this market. In terms of mobile, we are perfecting marketing on this medium, but we're still learning. We're still improving the way that we can market to mobile technology. We're introducing more, better quality content on mobile across all verticals and also into Spain and into Italy. So we are actually moving the mobile technology on to other parts of the world. Sport. We believe that there are more live events to come on stream. We believe that there are more sports product that we can bet on. We are building stronger and stronger relationships with Kambi, and we are now confident that our marketing campaigns are giving good returns on investment and gives us more confidence to be able to do more and more tactical and strategic marketing. In Spain, we launched our sports book on the 11th of August, and I'm sure that Itai will give you some more updates as how we're going in that case. We believe that this is a good acquisition tool for us. We're doing very well, 20% market share of casino and poker in Spain without a sports book. So this can only improve our operations. Slots in Spain will also be regulated at some stage over the coming months, and we believe that it should be launched, if not in quarter four, the beginning of 2015. We should remember the situation was in Italy that the introduction of slots increased the casino turnover by nearly 50%. So again, another exciting opportunity. And when we look further at the US, We, as I said before, we're very well positioned as the only operator in all three states. And we have in train an opportunity to go for shared liquidity in Nevada. So we will launch the 888 brand. We will launch Treasure Island brand. That together, linking up with WSOP, makes for an a state shared liquidity pool. Once we perfected that and all of the regulatory controls surrounding that, we will then move on to the interstate liquidity sharing between Nevada and Delaware. This we see as being a very strategic opportunity for us, not necessarily immediately commercially and economically viable or improving, but it's a great opportunity as smaller states see this as a turnkey operation. So overall, I think that 2015 will offer some opportunities and some challenges also in the US market. From that point of view, I think I would like to hand over to Aviad, who will actually talk you through a more detailed approach for the finances.
Thank you, Brian. Guys, slide 7, our summary P&L. As Brian mentioned, we've managed to increase revenue by 13%, and because we're operationally geared, adjusted EBITDA increased 27% to 49 million. Importantly, we've also managed to increase our EBITDA margin from 19.3% to 21.8%. Depreciation and amortization increased almost 2 million, primarily as a result of our build-up of our US launch and software technology, and in part as a result of increase in mobile investment. The share of joint venture losses, you can see, increased from $1.5 million to $4.4 million in the second half. This represents our share of the AAPN joint venture loss launch into the U.S. We expect this loss to be slightly lower in the second half of the year to about another $3.5 million, and that will give you an idea for the entire loss for the year. Profit before tax and finance, which, as Brian mentioned, is primarily the result of derivatives transactions or operational derivatives, increased 25% to $36.5 million. Again, this shows you the operational gearing of the business. Revenue increased 13% and profit increases 25%. The next line below that, you can see that finance, FX, and mainly FX charge was $2.5 million. There's a big swing from last year where we actually had a gain of $6.3 million. A year ago, all of you asked what was that amount. And at the time, I told you that this was a gain we made on hedging of our shekel exposure contract, which we entered into in December 12 when the shekel was particularly weak. We hedged our entire year exposure, and we generated a significant gain. If you strip out these two numbers, you can see a significant increase in the bottom line as well. The taxation line, there is not any material change from last year, and I do not expect it to change in any dramatic manner. On the revenue line, we've generated a CAGR of 7% from H1 2009. The way I look at it actually is that we've almost doubled our revenue in four years from H1 2010. And as Brian mentioned, current trading remains very strong. And I can confirm that in July we've broken our all-time profit record since records began for this group. So we continue to trade very well into Q3. On slide 9, you can see the geographical breakdown of our business. The revenue growth in the UK was 22%, in Europe, excluding the UK, 4%, the Americas, 28%. That is driven both by the launch of our US activities there, but also in part due to poker growth outside of the US. The rest of the world went down 17%. That is primarily as a result of the brand licensing deal, which is trading much softer this year compared to last year. The growth in the UK is driven by casino, by mobile, and by the turnaround of bingo. On slide 10, you can see a breakdown of geographical growth by region and product. You can see that we've grown our casino and poker business in each of the reported segments. The casino grew in the UK 37%. This is a mature and competitive market, and this is a phenomenal success. In the rest of the world, our casino grew by 8%, and America's another 8%. Our poker, against industry trends, grew 7% in the UK, 6% in the rest of the world, and 3% in the Americas. Slide 11, you can see the revenue of our B2C by product. Again, the strongest performance was our casino. Bingo turnaround, which increased 9%, and poker by 3%. Emerging offering was down 6%. Remember, our emerging offering lumps together the sport, social, and the brand licensing. And as Brian mentioned, our sport business more than doubled itself year on year, which means that the other two were softer. Slide 12 looks only at the revenue from our B2C business, excluding the B2B, which you know grew by 40%. That represents 9% CAGR from H1 2010. And again, this means we almost doubled our revenue in 4 years. And that is despite soft trading in June during the World Cup. Whilst our sports business performed very well during the World Cup, our core business of casino and poker was weaker, as we expected and as we have seen in previous years. Despite that, performance was very strong overall. Slide 13, just the revenue of the casino, 14% year on year. Again, it's driven by rich offering across the platform, especially mobile and market and CRM. On slide 14, you can see the revenue over a period of time of the poker, 3% year on year. I would like to mention that on this product, specifically, actually FX generated headwind. Some of the non-dollar currencies weakened over the period, and on a constant currency basis, the poker growth would have been higher than 3% that we reported. We maintained our number two position in the global liquidity ranking by Poker Star, Poker Scout, behind Poker Stars. Again, this is against a very difficult industry, and Itai will show you some slides to show how some of our competitors fared during that period. On slide 15, I decided to show you something about players' value. Basically, we've compared the value of players in we recruited in Q1 last year to Q1 this year. And you can see that in the poker, player value increased 2%, and on the casino, it was increased 34%. And the message here is that we've been able to increase revenue on both poker and casino, but we've done so in high-quality customers, or rather than we just did not buy expensive revenue. We bought good-quality customers, and we increased the revenue, and that's actually a very good achievement for us. Slide 16, cash from operations. We continue to generate a very high proportion of EBITDA generated into cash, 95% this year compared to 99% this year. And the corporate cash net of customer liabilities increased 50% from 40 million to 60 million. So this company continues to generate large amounts of cash as ever. Slide 17, the marketing cost ratio. We've spent slightly less in absolute terms marketing this year compared to last year, 2 million less. And the marketing ratio went down to 31%. Importantly, I know, it will gravitate upwards towards historical levels over the coming periods. Whether it's going to be in H2 or H1 next year, I can't tell you exactly. Remember, as I mentioned, during the World Cup, we have scaled down on marketing. There was no point in competing on television spots where everybody is looking at television. We will spend more marketing in H2, and over time that ratio will gravitate. Having said that, our return on investment requirement, or what we call RTC, we kept married to it, and we've delivered revenue growth through very effective CRM activities. Slide 18, the cost structure. You can see that OPEX ratio increased to 31% from 30.7%. This is mainly a result of the activities into the US. Similarly, R&D ratio increased from 7.6% to 8.6%, so increased from 1%, primarily driven by US, but also mobile. I do not expect another step change going upwards. I think it will go up in potentially in volume, but not in ratio to revenue. And admin expenses increased also slightly related to the US and general growth in the business. The next two slides will demonstrate to you that we have achieved the revenue growth without spending uncontrolled customer bonusing. The first one is for the casino. Whilst we've delivered 14% revenue growth, the customer bonus ratio actually went down from 25% to 21%. So it's very well under control. And on slide 20, you will see similar picture on the poker. We've increased revenue 3% and kept the bonus at exactly 18%. So it's very much under control. On slide 21, we look at the EBITDA, which increased 27% to $49 million. And actually looked at the history books. In H1 2010, we reported $12.6 million of EBITDA. This is exactly four times EBITDA in 4 years, which is quite an achievement. The next slide, 22, you can see the historical growth in the business on the EBITDA, both in margins from 9.6% in H1 10 to the 21.8% we have delivered this half. Last slide, balance sheet. We remain unlevered, we have no debt. You can see the customer deposits increase from 49 million to almost 59 million, which in my view represents the underlying growth of the business. The customer deposits translate over time into more and more revenue. And there are no unusual items on this balance sheet. Kind of boring, that's why I like it. Slide 24, the cash flow statement. We've generated 46.7 net cash from operations, 22% increased from last year. What we've done with it, we've paid a dividend of 39 million, the final dividend for the year. We increased the cash by 3 million. Internally generated intangibles went down slightly from 4.7 to 4.1. And there are no other material items here. And over to Itai.
Hi, everyone. This is another record performance year with all verticals and KPI showing consistent growth. We've delivered on our strategy goals and statements which we've presented in the past. In this session, I would like to tie the KPIs you've seen so far into our current and future position in different markets, especially in the UK with the upcoming point of consumption. In the graph that you see in front of you, in the slide you see in front of you, you can actually see performance indicators indexed to 100% at some point. And each one of the different icons that you see on top of that would indicate us breaking a record in that specific area. So, for example, if you look at B2C deposit, you can see that we broke our record of ever in June 2013. Then again, in October 2013, 112% on top of that. And you can, I'm sure you understand the rest of them. it shows how healthy the business is, and it shows that we are growing in most of the important KPIs, and that growth is sustainable. This chart to us is a bill of health. When you see a strong deposit trend, it's usually indicative of a healthy acquisition and retention funnel, both from a product perspective and a marketing side. Deposit is our fuel, which we then turn into NGR through our technology and know-how. H1 trends are encouraging and consistent. Through our history, you can see the seasonality behavior, but overall trends is very strong. Edited Mobile is a mobile-first company. This was a cultural change, not just a delivery or a technical challenge. We opted for make rather than buy and embedded mobile into all verticals. The fact that we own our own mobile, the fact that we develop our own mobile propositions allow us to connect that much better than when you use a third party. It allows us to create some unique promotions and very unique communication tools when we address our customers. It paid off, and we have a unified view today of every customer, regardless of his choice of product or platform. Mobile now accounts for a significant part of acquisition and retention KPIs, as you saw before. We showed this graph last time. The trend continues. It is consistent and sustainable. We will continue to develop and market best-in-class mobile proposition. It means we invest in the front-end product, but just as important in the back office, which will support mobile functionalities such as communication channels and additional features. It also means we will invest into mobile marketing, both at the acquisition and retention levels. These days, we are exploring new marketing channels for mobile, which in the future will convert into revenues. As in PC, mobile deposits are key to our success as a business. It shows here we addressed a key part of the mobile funnel with success. The fact that we see the same trends happening on mobile, it means that when a customer actually converts into mobile, whether as a new customer or as part of our retention, we got the funnel right and we got the whole process streamlined. It requires us to develop key elements of the product for different operating systems and platforms. We've addressed and developed our infrastructure in a way which enable us to update and upgrade with more efficiency. Growth is impressive, and we are pleasantly surprised how well our customer responds and adapted to our mobile proposition. Mobile is the future of e-commerce over the world, and gaming is no exception in our view. Casino is our DNA, leading the way with all KPIs. We've been able to deliver a platform which is fully automated with a very strong analytical side to it. Not just serving games, it's our intelligent casino, as we call it, which enable us to present this growth in a highly competitive, mature gaming market. I think it's important to understand that the casino market in the UK is very similar to the poker market, which everybody regards as saturated. It is a very competitive market, and I think we're doing very well in that space. The new Millionaire Genie jackpot was hit twice in H1. Good acquisition and retention track shows the traction this game is generating over PC and mobile. It was the first time that we actually did a campaign above the line for a specific game. I'm sure you all saw that on TV and taxis and buses, etc. It worked very well, and we'll probably continue using that with our own game studio premium games. Casino is embedded into every vertical and business process. Every game is developed across all platforms, such as mobile and PC. We develop only one and publish many. So our customers enjoy our new classic games consistently across all verticals and allows us to develop a game once and then, if you want, port it between the different channels that we have with the customer, whether that would be a download, a no download, a mobile, an Android, a tablet, a smartphone, etc. It's a lot more efficient this way. If we look at the games, we've added 46 games during H1, more in-house premium content from our game studio. It keeps our game portfolio fresh and reduces dependency on third parties. Live Casino is also a key growth engine, and we put a lot of attention how to make it work alongside our server-based games. On poker, backing industry trend in the challenging market, it's clear that ADD Poker maintain an edge over our peer group. Recreational focus continue, cross-sell efficiency drives revenue growth. The ADD platform is showing its resilience. The platform actually allows us to execute on our strategy and innovate. This is the slide Aviad referred to. ADD Poker fortifies at number two, as we said before. We've shown this graph many times in the past. Industry trend, I believe, are only more apparent now. We'd not just focus on liquidity, as you see in this graph, but cross-sell and profitability. I think it's important to mention that all network activities are generating profit these days. In sport, as we state, sport is a growth opportunity and will become a significant part of our strategy in the future. We've delivered on these statements. This is, as I see it, our blue ocean. 888 Sport relaunch is a big success. We are very satisfied and excited with the opportunity it created for our business. Sport is connected to a core platform, which allows us to initiate some creative activities and become different, fueling growth through acquisition and cross-sell. World Cup performance demonstrates the strength of the product and why we believe it's going to continue to show some more growth in the future. We now have a Tier 1 sportsbook connected to our cross-sell engine and unified wallet, allows us to innovate with unique promotion, as I said. Mobile, in this case, now accounts for 50% of the activity. Sport in Spain will soft launch on August 11. Promotion will start this week. Spain is a sport-driven market, and I think that our results in Spain so far, without having a sportsbook, is a source of pride to us. It was very difficult to achieve our position without having the leading product in addition to the ones we already launched. Together with creating a sport proposition, we will aim to leverage our current position in Spain, strengthening our casino and poker now with a full suite of services. Bingo was a successful turnaround. This includes both B2C and B2B line of business. Both are focused and trading well. Strategic B2B accounts have been retained and extended. All networks are leveraging the new Bingo mobile platform, allowing them to extend their reach and bring new fresh products into the market. Multiple new skins signed and launched during H1. This is a fresh flood for the Dragonfish Bingo network. 888 B2C has rebounded on the back of their organizational change. We're applying 888 core competencies, such as business intelligence, CRM, content, everything is fueled into the Bingo offering. In H2, we will continue developing new features and functionalities while preparing for point of consumption. We also see some consolidation in the network, which I'm sure you all saw in recent weeks. We see this as a healthy development in which some cases we facilitated, allowing these partners to grow post point of consumption. POC is not a singular event, but a rolling one starting December 2014. We will be POC ready by September this year. Significant resources invested over the last 18 months, and we added new supporting functionalities to our platform and product to optimize existing ones. Strong performance allows us to go into POC with very strong momentum, and I think this is critical when we talk about POC future. In Spain, current market share is steady, as mentioned, around 20%. The launch of 888 Sport will fuel further growth and acquisition cost effectiveness. In Italy, as again mentioned, it's a casino market only. We are monitoring the market, which is also showing volatile trends. Net 10 content deployed and mobile launched this week. We are closely following other markets, looking for the right opportunity for us to create additional business. In Spain, new mobile proposition is coming now into the market. We've been somewhat short, and this is now mitigated. This will align the market in terms of product available and allow us to capitalize on the full potential of our platform and market share. Anticipated slot regulation marks an additional growth opportunity. We saw the effect in Italy and know what we have to do. In the US, in the last year, we gained significant know-how and experience which reinforced our position. Trading so far has been slower than anticipated. There are many reasons. There are many reasons to this. However, some of these could be mitigated, and this is where we invest our time and effort. 888 is fully committed to the US and in pole position to benefit from its regulation. It's a marathon, and we are prepared for every opportunity this mega market can present to us. WSOP and JV partnerships going very well. Both are strong, and we share the same agenda with both partners. When we look at the shared liquidity, we show this lies in the past, and now it's becoming a reality. We aim to deploy the Nevada-Delaware shared liquidity poker network in early 2015. Again, Interstate will allow us to capture the opportunity of smaller states when they decide to move into regulation. Interstates position us in a unique position, creating a competitive edge to 888 and maybe even more important to our operating partners. Other states in the pipeline include California, Pennsylvania, and New York, which we expect some of them to happen next year. From a recent survey market that we've done a few weeks ago, we have learned a lot on the target market. This shows that a significant part of the eligible population is still unaware and untapped. This part of the opportunity in the market, could be addressed, which will drive growth. If you look at the slide here, at the pie chart, you will see the population which is already playing, which is significantly smaller than the population which says that they have interest in playing and they are not playing right now. So if you split the market, about 50% are not interested and 50% are. About 40% of the population, which is a relevant population, is not playing today with regulated websites. So this is a massive opportunity for the operators or for the industry, if you want, to educate these customers to move into gaming. I believe that we will find the same principle when applying this survey in other US markets. To summarize, our core business continues to generate growth. It's trading well with consistency. We continue to focus and deliver per our strategy and hold proven track record. I think 888 is special in its agile, can-do attitude from a dynamic, streamlined management team downwards. We have expertise and know-how to deal with regulatory challenges. Our core focus investment continues to pay off. Positive momentums allow us to take a challenge and opportunities ahead. I, for one, very proud to be part of this team. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much to Aviad and Itai for elaborating from the beginning. I'm just going to wrap up really by just doing some summary points. First of all, I am very, very happy to be sat here today delivering such a great set of results. And those results are there because we have a great team of people who work across our offices, across many countries, and they've done a phenomenal job. And the pressure has been on. Pressure's been on because of America. Pressure's been on because of UK regulation, etc. So these guys have done a tremendous amount, and for that I'm very proud to be part of them. We have delivered on our plans, as Itai said. We have actually stuck to the knitting. What we've seen is organic growth. We've embraced regulation, and we've actually achieved excellent profit growth over the last 4 years. We are really happy to continue to develop our mobile offering and believe that that will be the catalyst of which we will see growth over the next 2 to 3 years. We see great opportunities in new regulation coming in Europe. We see the likes of Ireland and also the Netherlands. We see opportunities in possibly entering Denmark. So there are great opportunities there. We also see the US prospects slower than we thought, but genuinely they are prospects and we are best positioned to be in that market. Slots and sportsbook in Spain, very exciting times ahead. Can see that market growing again. And we look to actually constantly appraise the Italian market. We are a very, very strong cash generative business with established quality of earnings. This management team is the industry-leading team, professionals capable of managing a company much bigger and much more complex than this. The results today, together with the strong trading in July, matched by that in August, give us confidence that we will meet our expectations. This company is in great health, and we are really looking forward to a very bright future. I will now tackle some issues which are, we call sort of board changes, which I think we should explain. We have, as a company and as a board, accepted the retirement of Mr. Richard Kilsby as our chairman. He has served on the board for 9 years, through some good times and through quite a few bad times. And Richard has been an absolute gem and a star to take us through those. Richard has decided to retire as at the AGM in 2015. At that stage, I will move across to take his place as executive chairman. And we are absolutely proud and delighted to promote Itai to the full board membership. Itai and Aviad will drive the business forward, as they have done over the last 3 to 4 years. These are the guys who have actually engineered the recovery and the refocusing of 888. I will be there in some form of continuity to ensure that everything continues to go as it has done before. I will spend more of my time looking at regulation and looking at new markets, particularly in the US, and allow these two guys to drive the business on a day-to-day basis. So I am delighted to remain engaged with them, but I will ease back slightly and allow the two guys, and particularly Itai, to drive the company forward. What I would like to do, though, in this formal situation, is to thank our chairman, Richard Kilsby, for all he has done for us, and I will wish him well when he retires after May 2015. Thank you all very much for attending today and listening to the presentation, and I will open the floor up for any questions that may be required answering.